This call is being recorded.
Welcome to Ask Gwen, everyone. See, I'm back on the planet. I don't sound like I'm in a teapot because my smart guest today knows how to use Uber Conference. And no, Uber Conference doesn't sponsor this podcast, even though I wish they would. But maybe if we stick that out in the universe, they would, because I don't want to sound like I'm in a teapot. But enough of my rambling about the audio. I'm going to let Miss Colleen Hall take it away.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, in the next couple of weeks, my name will go back to Carla Wynn. I'll be removing the Hall from there, but that's okay. I am so glad to be on here again. I think this is probably my fourth time on this podcast. But at first, I didn't really know how to talk on a podcast. I didn't know what I wanted to say, and I didn't know the message that I wanted to get out. But today, I really, really do. So one of the things I just want to say is I'm so honored to be on this journey with you as a sister, author, creative, luminary on a mission to get our message out to the world. I'm actually a five-time best-selling author of my own books, and I'm about to release my fifth book called How to Train Your Unicorn. And the subtitle to my book, How to Train Your Unicorn, is Mind Mapping Your Way to Liberating Your Inner Creative Magician. Now, that's a pretty deep subtitle, but I promise you there's definitely magic to what sounds like madness, because I believe creative expression is the way that people like you and me get our messages across in both life and in business, and through using magic markers and a mind mapping system that's very, very simple, we can do both things. We can be creative and we can have strategies and plans in place. You have been very influential in every single book that I've ever written, and this one is no different. I actually remembered some of the things that you had taught me over the years about how children react to different things and how important it is for you to stay creative in everything that you do on a day-to-day basis. And that book is going to release on Christmas Eve. So I hope everyone who hears this will, number one, go and buy Wynn's books over on Amazon because she's a fantastic author, and number two, on Christmas Eve, watch my Facebook and look at all the free things and lessons and things I'm going to be giving out as presents the night before Christmas when my book launches this year.
Or you guys can watch Colin's Instagram too. She's doing a great job branding her Instagram to make it all about her unicorn book. And it's amazing to see your Instagram all about your book, and you have a couple pictures of you and your family on there, but go watch either Facebook or her Instagram feed, because this book will be amazing. And the fact of the matter is, you guys, if you want to publish a book, Paula can actually help you do that, if you don't mind me putting the plug that your book coach Paula into this podcast. And we need to get our voices out there now more than ever, because our sexual abuse survivors or emotional abuse survivors, Paula is the sexual abuse survivor, and she'll admit that publicly. And then I'm the emotional abuse survivor. I was emotionally abused in the workplace. I'll admit that publicly. If you go back and listen to, I did a whole episode on being emotionally abused when I retired from preschool. I wrote a book about it. I wrote a novel about it called The View from My Teaching Desk. And that could also be found on Amazon. So now more than ever, with what happened yesterday in the Senate, we as women need to stand together.
That's absolutely correct. And believe it or not, this book was part of my therapy as I was going through this process of being in a narcissistic and verbally, emotionally, and sexually abusive relationship. And it was all of those things rolled into one. I was writing this book. And what I found was that the more I got towards success, the more I almost got to that apex of my success and career as an author, the worse the abuse would get. And it was so silent that no one on the outside would ever had known it existed. And you are right. If some of your listeners out there are ready to write their book and they have no idea where to start, I have some amazing programs out there right now starting at $350. It takes you from idea all the way to book. And in this program, you don't even have to type a single word if you don't want to, because what I do is phone interviews that last from 1 hour to 2 hours long. And each of those interviews is transcribed out into text. Each 2 hour interview actually can make two and sometimes three chapters of a book. So it only takes us 7 weeks to get you from your idea all the way to a published book. Writing is the only way that I would have survived the abusive relationships, and I'll say more than one, that I've been involved in over my lifetime. So if you're in this turmoil, if you're in danger in some way, if you're being emotionally, mentally, psychologically, sexually abused right now, now is the time to talk about it. And here's the thing, Wynn, if you write about it is so much easier than going public with it with your voice in the beginning, because you can get your story corroborated through words before you go out and you get, the media or some weird stuff, something happens to you where you have to verbally explain it. If you write it first, then you really own the story, and you need to write it soon. So if you're going through abuse, go ahead and start a journal, start something, and do it in secret if you need to. If you want to confront me with it, that's fine. I'll talk to you about what it is that you're going through, and I'll show you how to write it. But I think that instead of marching and some of these things that women tend to do when they get, they get mad and they want to make a point, they'll get gathered together and in troves they'll go try to march on the Senate, march at the Supreme Court, and all that stuff is fine and good, but there's not a cadence to it. So to get that cadence in place, write your story, find a group of your girlfriends and have them to write their story, and do it that way to begin with. But get it out, and please tell somebody, because there are all types of silent abuse that could lead to physical abuse before you even blink an eye.
And my next question is, I was close to my abuser. As I said, she was in the workplace. I was teaching and getting abused, and of course, my abuser put a totally different light on when she was around my mom, my biological mom, and she put a totally different light on when she was around the kids. But my question to you is, what if your abuser sees the journal you're writing? Then we're up the creek without a paddle.
Well, exactly. You're up the creek without a paddle. But here's the thing: there's some hidden secret place in your home somewhere where you can keep that journal. And most of the time, they're not going to go pilfering, pilchering through everything. So just, if you are or do it on your computer, but it's easier for them to find it on the computer than it is to hide a notebook. To put it under your couch
Yeah.
cushion, put it all the way under your couch, but have that secret place where you do your writing and stuff like that. And I know that's crazy to say keep it hidden, but you have to. I want you to write it out, but I want you to also take this unicorn magic lesson from me, and this is actually in my book too. Sometimes you have to keep secrets. For example, I knew and you knew that my relationship was abusive. You knew what I was going through, and you knew that I was going through all this the whole time. You even told me to make sure I deleted the messages from my phone, because that's very smart of you. And especially if you're telling anyone on your cell phone through a text message about this, go right in and delete it. But in my book, I talk about how when you have a big dream, it's so important that you completely and totally keep that a secret too. That's kind of a little bit in contrast from keeping your journal a secret when you're writing about your abuse. But when you have a big dream, if you run and you have the dream one day, and the next day you go tell somebody, and the first thing they tell you is, "Oh, that's never going to happen," then your dream is deflated before it ever has time to be born. So keep your dream inside of yourself, especially if you have a big dream and you are in a verbally, psychologically, emotionally, or sexually abusive relationship. Because the abuser will try to deflate you sooner than anyone else. My former husband did the exact thing that I'm talking about to me. I said, "I want to sell a million copies of my book, be a New York Times best-selling author. I want to build a home that's completely paid for with no mortgage, no debt, and have vehicles that have no payments, and create enough money so that I can leave inheritances and trust funds for my grandchildren." And he consistently told me that's not based in reality. And so he was a dream killer and he was a dream stealer. And all these things were just killing my emotions a little bit at a time. So I started creating a plan B in secret, in my secret place called my brain. I created it in my memory, in my imagination. I started to do the divorce even before he asked for it, even before he left. I'd started visualizing that, and there's your secret hiding place for everything. Keep it in your mind, heart, and soul, and plan your plan B. Keep your journal hidden and delete all text messages if you send anybody anything and tell anybody about it. Because I don't want the verbal abuse, I don't want the mental abuse, I don't want the emotional abuse to turn into physical. Then you're hurt. Then you have to go to the hospital, and then you have broken bones, and then you suffer. He very well could have done that with me. But because I was smart and I knew his psychology, I knew all of his ghosts and all of his triggers, I was able to get him to go ahead and get everything that he owned and leave out in all in one day's time. As soon as he left, I found the divorce papers. I got them ready to fill out. I said, "Here's my terms. You abandon the marriage, you'll sign, you'll agree, or I'll take you to court for everything." And he signed and he agreed. And we've got one more step, that is to actually go to the courthouse and file it, and it'll be final. But you do not have to be abused. Your voice matters, your life matters, and you have to talk to somebody.
And the thing they brought up on the Today Show, actually, before I recorded it, this interview, they said start talking to your kids about what happened yesterday in the Senate. And so you either, if your kids are with you in the abuser's presence, that's not good. That's not good. And I had kids with me, even though they weren't biological kids of my own, in my abuser's presence. And you definitely had kids, Kala, in your abuser's presence. And so I think we need to start talking to the next generation what not to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's where it starts and where it begins. And we have to, because this is a, the abuse that we see now comes from a patriarchy. It comes, and I'm not saying that women don't do it because your abuser was a female teacher in the school where you work. And just let me address that right quick. She had a form of narcissistic personality disorder. That is something that we've got to keep talking about. Because you said that in front of your mother and in front of the kids, she was nice as she could be. But if you were alone with her, she would do things like throw your phone across the room and insult and harass you. And her abuse to you was hidden from the world because that's what she wanted it to be. That way, nobody saw her imbalance. Now, the little ones that are coming up today, I have a 6-year-old granddaughter, as you know, and I have a 3-year-old grandson, and I have two step granddaughters who are ages 7 and 6. And I had a talk with all of them right before they started school. The 3-year-old didn't, of course, and he's crazy. He doesn't understand anything yet besides Lightning McQueen and cookies. But Chloe and the other two girls, all three said that they'd been bullied at school. All three of them, without hesitation, said that there was a bully at their school, and they knew his name and her name. That one of them had a girl bully, two of them had boy bullies. And it just, oh, I just thought I was going to throw up because I had to have the conversation with them because their mom, or Chloe's mom, and the two stepdaughters' mom, Melissa, who's also Alex's mom, they have not talked about their kids about this. So Chloe said, the teacher says not to be a tattletale, and my friends say not to be a tattletale. I said, Chloe, listen to me. I said, this is important. I said, if someone is bullying you, you tell your teacher that your mama said that it's not being a tattletale to report something that's bad. And I told the other two girls that same thing too. So they were afraid to say anything because of the tattletale stigma that had been placed upon them by their parents and by teachers. And I think that's ridiculous. I think somebody has to stop that. Kids need to be free to tell when something is going wrong, but they need to understand what it is that's going wrong. So, Chloe said, do you want me to just punch him in the face? I said, no. If they call you, because she was
No,
afraid
we
they'd
don't
call her fat, I
punch,
said, don't punch
but
him in the face. But you have to do something.
yes, and this tattletale stigma is going out the door. If I have anything to do with it, it's going out the door when I threw out my teaching career, because this my when my dad read my book, he read the dry copy of my book before I published it. He goes, who's the caregiver with she was taking antidepressants at the time. My abuser was taking antidepressants at the time. And I said, my boss, I came right out and told him that. And she, my dad saw what the other side of this whole situation. But as I said, the my abuser turned bright and sunny and roses with my mom. One, my mom was paying her to help me, but she would turn bright and sunny with the kids and drive me nuts. And then when we were alone, she would turn a totally different person, saying, oh, you are just not great teacher, and not she would not give me support no matter how much I tried. And so it's and she didn't get to the point where throwing my phone across the room, but she did get to the point where I needed to get out of there. And this was right after, this was before my mom died, actually. And I was on volunteer status in the workplace. And abuse in the workplace happens all the time. People think, people with disabilities, it happens at home. Nope, it doesn't happen at home. It may happen in a senior center, but I haven't heard horror stories of parents abusing the kids unless they're really messed up. But I, my dad wouldn't hurt to fly. He knows better. He knows better to support. He knows better to support women than ever. He's the most kind, gentle giant on planet Earth. And so he knows better than to do that. But a lot of the times it happens in the workplace, and a lot of the times you're not allowed to do anything or say anything, because then you'll lose your paycheck.
Right, and that's where you get the tattletale syndrome in the workplace. And it's a good topic for you and I to explore over the next, the next little while as we start these different series on how to get through different types of abuse. So the best way to do it is to understand that you know when someone is mistreating you, and you know how it feels. You know how it feels in your gut. You know how it feels in your body, mind, and soul. So you have to understand that this is not a situation that you can stay in, even if you really, really think that you love the person. I tried it for almost 5 years. We would have been married 5 years on Valentine's Day next year. So, and I should have known it. I should have recognized the signs, but I was in such a needy place, and I thought I needed a husband, and he had an income, and I was tired of working so hard for paying the bills. It's just a dynamic that we have to look at. Where does the line cross on a humanity level that goes from someone just mistreating you a little bit to someone really psychologically abusing you. And little kids in school, they have the worst time because they don't know what to do. Like Chloe had red lights the other day, and Alyssa was saying she had red all the way across. She was talking in class. I said, how are her grades? Straight A's. I said, that's because she's bored. She wants to talk. She has a lot to say. But in public school systems, they don't give kids a lot of room to be creatively expressive. That is a foundation of how to train your unicorn. It is for grown-ups who need to tap back in to their childhood love of being freely able to creatively express. And so many adults grew up not being able to creatively express themselves. And because of that, they get stuck and trapped in a spin cycle of not being able to get, quote, quote, unstuck, whatever that might be. They're never happy. They're never content with the way things are in their life, because they don't know how to express it. So pulling out magic markers and writing a mind map on a piece of printer paper, coloring out your desires and your emotions, let your conscious thinking brain rest for a little while and your creative brain come to the surface and be in control for a little while. But if you're, let's say you're like I mind mapped my Instagram, you were complimenting me on that, and I thank you for that because I used to hate Instagram. I couldn't figure out how in the world you could do it. I said, how do you put that much text onto a picture with your phone? You know, I was like, I can't do that. But I mind mapped it out. I started to put a little picture of an Instagram thing on the top of a piece of paper. And then I said, what are my goals? My first goal was to get 10,000 followers. And then I made three suggestions on the right and three suggestions on the left for myself. And then I started creating goal lists. What do I want to say? What kind of pictures do I want to use? How the heck do I take that big chunk of text, put it somewhere on my phone so I can copy it and paste it with the picture? And then before you knew it, I was clear on what I needed to do on Instagram because I took the moment, got out my magic markers, and I made a plan. And it looked just like I was sitting coloring a coloring sheet. I had stuff everywhere. I had crayons and glue and glitter, and it was so fun. It's so incredibly fun to plan your life in this way. So, I just want to mix the two topics up right quick while I still got them before they leave. Creativity is your freedom, and that's it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Would you say that this latest book is kind of like an adult coloring book?
Something like that, but we don't actually have a coloring book yet. I am in the process of talking about it and getting some artists in place for a little one, but it's a coloring book that you're going to create with white paper and just regular magic markers from the store. Every year when Walmart has school supplies, when school's starting, I go and I buy probably 15 or 20 packs. Sometimes I might buy a whole case because they have 12 markers for 50 cents. And that's the only time of the year that they have them that cheap. And since probably mid-2000, I've been doing this exact ritual every year. And at one time I've had like a garbage bag filled with tags of markers. And I always thought I was crazy. I just claimed it. I said, I'm a magic marker hoarder. That's just it. I'm addicted. And this year, when my grandkids started to come stay with me, we got a big, huge chunk of cardboard. And we all got on the floor, and I finally was able to use the magic markers because they can run them dry, let me tell you. Little kids, when they are free to draw, can just run them dry, but I have plenty more to go. So the purpose is that you're not coloring a coloring book with designs that people have already created. You're creating your own success strategies. You're mapping out emotions. You're mapping out your business. You're mapping out idea thoughts for innovations. And you're doing it all while you feel like you're playing. And then I just staple them all over to the wall, tape them everywhere. I went back and looked at all my notebooks over the years, and I had about 100 different ones that I'd done over the years.
Well, Carla, I think next week we're going to, and I say this because I need to do this for my own sake, I think next week we're going to sit down and you're going to do a somewhat of a vision board for me based on your system, because I need help, and I need to and some other people. And we started this, you guys, yesterday. Paula and I had a phone call, and we started mapping out Ask When, and Ask When is going to be huge if you guys just hang with me. Ask When is going to be huge, but I think I need to do more of this mind mapping slash vision board work.
Right. And the good thing about what we did yesterday is we come to the conclusion that both of us are hopeless creatives. And unless we're creating something new, we're just not happy. So what I see happening with this fantastic podcast is we can deal with these deeper issues that other folks are just flat afraid to deal with, and we can talk about them together and with other guests in such a way that we can have them open up to us in the spirit of creativity. And when you see someone light up for the first time that's been living in pain and living in emotional turmoil, it's like you have given them the biggest present of their life because you've said, okay, it's okay if you tell us your big dream because we're going to help you make sure that you get to it. And it's okay if you're being emotionally abused because we're going to give you the support that you need. Being on this podcast helps me learn. You can tell today that I speak a lot better than I did 2 years ago, right? I used to be so scared and nervous. I would like go into a cold sweat because I was just scared of speaking. And I think this podcast is going to give that safe space for people with a lot of different messages and a lot of different missions in their reality and in their experience that we're going to help. We're going to give them a place where they can talk about it freely. So yeah, we'll do that. Next week we'll start making a creative map of this podcast and see where we want to go with the issues that are so important today in our world.
Well, I think that would be a great idea. And as you guys know, I try. My heart is not get political, but I will say this. I am on Dr. Christine Blasey Ford's team because what she said was scary. And I watched it by myself this morning, and what she said was scary when Brett Kavanaugh said it was a bunch of pahooey, and he said, I don't even remember being, I like beer, I still like beer, but I don't remember getting two sheets to win. And so I am on women's team, I'm on Christine Blasey Ford's team. And for those of you that don't know, she is a teacher. She's a professor out in California, and that's one of the reasons why I'm on her side of this, if we had to pick sides, because teachers don't make money. And for her and her family to get death threats and having to move houses and her having to take time off work, which they failed to mention, to go to Washington, D.C. and see her abuser, isn't good for teachers who don't make money. And so that's
Well,
why
and there you
I
go.
am on her team.
Right, and there you go again. That's the tattletale syndrome. She was terrified and scared to say anything. She sent the letter under seal. They said they wouldn't get it out to the media. It was leaked to the media, and then her life just became a living hell because she did not have the freedom to speak up and say what happened to her. Now, what happened in the Senate is one thing, but what happens everywhere else is another thing. It causes hysteria. And then everybody's trying to take sides one with the other. I also haven't taken her side 100% because she had the courage to stand up and speak up. And then even though they said it wasn't a criminal prosecuting procedure, it sure did feel like it when I was watching it on TV because that's the kind of questions they were asking her. Like it was like a NCIS Miami episode. Trying to watch it on TV. I made Joshua make popcorn. We got on the couch and I said, let's watch this because he's 21 now. I want him to see what's going on in the environment that we live in. And I said, just listen to this. And then you can see some of the, there is a problem. Men in the past were able to sexually molest and abuse women because they got by with it. They were the leaders of the house. They made all the money. You know, they were the rulers of the kingdom. But all that has changed because women now are the leaders. They're the ones making the money. They're the ones creating the innovation. They are the ones going out there and doing things that no one else will do. And men don't like it. And the more they don't like it, the more they try to put pressure on women to not speak up or say anything. The tattletale syndrome. I'm going to write a book about that or a blog or something, and that's what it's going to be called. We cannot be afraid to speak up and speak out. And Facebook is the worst. I can go in there and say one little thing about anything, and I'll get 10 replies. Oh, you shouldn't be talking about that on social media. Well, why not?
Why not? That's why I stepped away from Facebook. You guys know I stepped away from Facebook when they did the Cambridge Analytica scandal. And I'm like, why not? Why can't we be talking about women's rights on Facebook? And me, being a disabled woman, I have every right to be talking about disabled rights because it's disgusting what men are doing. Excuse my French, but it's disgusting. And my dad keeps bringing up the point. I didn't do that in high school. I didn't do all this stuff to women in high school. I'm like, you know better. You knew better than that. You grew up in a home that didn't do that stuff. It comes from the home. I'm a scientist.
You're exactly right.
It comes from the home.
You're exactly right.
It comes from what you're taught by your parents. And I understand that parents are the first teacher. I get that. But this sexually going after a professor in California when she's a high school student, thank you very much, isn't cool. Isn't cool.
No, it's not. It's not. He should have just dealt with it head on whenever she made the allegation, and they should have just both came on together. But he's about to be appointed to that lifetime position of judge, and his values are important. And if he's got twisted values about sexually attacking women, then that is a problem. That's a problem with his value system. As he hears cases in the United States Supreme Court, he's got to tap into those values to make the appropriate choice of what he's going to vote for. And if one of his values is that it's okay to attack women and then deny and lie about it, then he does not need to sit in that position, period.
Exactly. He doesn't need to sit in that position, period. If he's going to be a liar and a cheat and a scam artist, he doesn't need to. We'll find out today what happens, but I certainly hope they don't vote him into office. And I'm sorry if your name is being scandaled right now, but this is the truth, and you made your bed, now you have to lie in it.
That's right.
With the South
well, I'm so
cameras,
glad. I'm so glad that you had me on here again.
With the thousand cameras focused on you, and I just hope that today we get to the end of this Brett Kavanaugh thing, and I just hope that Christine Blasey Ford gets the help and refuge that she needs, and I hope that her taking off time from work doesn't impact her job, because remember, it's September, as this thing is going on, teachers are back to school. Teachers, professors are back to school. I'm back to school. The only reason why I'm sitting here doing this interview on a Friday morning is because I am lucky enough to be working every Friday. And I say lucky enough to be working every other Friday. But normally I wouldn't be sitting here at 9 o'clock in the morning my time and doing an interview. I would be at work.
Right, right. Right. She sent the letter. It should have been protected. There's a problem with whoever leaked the letter to the media to begin with. So hopefully, I'm going to watch it today just like you. I'm going to follow it really closely. And I used to not turn on the TV and get concerned with things like this, but it's important because I have grandkids, and I need to be able to guide them into their, you know, future life in such a way that they understand what's going on in the media, just like you said. If they were to see it on TV, they wouldn't understand what was going on. So I need to be able to show them my own way, how they can navigate life. And my two sons that live here with me, they are old enough to understand it. So, you know, I try to teach Joshua and Nicholas what they're seeing and how to, for the most part, they don't really care. They live in their own little bubble of imagination. But it's a problem that we have to start at the level of the family. You're correct. We also have to start at the level of speaking up and not being oppressed by the tattletale syndrome and being afraid to talk. And then we need to be able to become better people by creatively expressing our own emotions and working through our own mental capacity so that we don't get impacted by the. There's a severe problem with the media impacting mental health. So we by being creative and staying in a creativity and imagination zone, you can create a day that feels better than the day before. Like, I just have come out of the divorce. I spent a week and a half crying so hard that my eyeball is bruised. My literal eyeball is bruised. And I should have known how to work through it, but it was one of the final emotional pitfalls that I believe I'm going to have to go through for a little while. I think I've already done my time and done my karma. In the last couple of years, I lost my sister, my father's house burned, my nephew murdered my sister's fiance. They were all high on drugs. And yet I keep writing because that's the only way I can stay sane. If I look back and let my past and my family impact me, it'll take a hold of me. But if I keep using my crayons and my magic markers and my colors and I keep putting pink things around me and just if I can be creative, I can feel good about every single life issue that I have to encounter.
Yes, and that's where we want to that's where we want to teach the next generation. We don't want to squish the next generation's creativity in the public school system. The public school system all across the country is getting worse, I'm lucky that I teach in a private school, and one of the things they admit is that in their mission statement, it says the academics, the arts, and the outdoors. And the arts, whether it be singing, whether it be writing, whether it be public speaking, they do tremendously well. And I'm lucky enough that my day job supports this podcast, literally and figuratively, because this paycheck, my paycheck feeds this podcast. So I am lucky enough that literally and figuratively, I don't have to stop this paycheck, podcast when I am working, when I am teaching kids. Now, granted, I'm not teaching kids this, you know, I'm more on the creative admin side. I said to my supervisor, I said, I won't be filing papers. That will be the boring end of it. Give me the creative projects and let me inspire the kids. She goes, fine, you can do whatever you want. We'll give you
good
the
deal.
Creative projects. And so I am happy that after 13 years in the education field, I'm finally getting the creative projects to these kids, because I feel like creativity is getting squished. But before I let you go and go back to your amazing work and working on these books and working on these, getting out of these situations and helping others, including myself, get out of these situations, where can people find you? And do you have any questions for me?
I do have a question for you. How do you raise your voice in the public school system about issues, or in the private school system about issues that you know impact the community and the world at large? What are some things that you do to bring their attention to things that are bothering you?
Well, I'm really lucky that I, and he'll admit this publicly, I had a boss that was lucky enough to have one of his parents be Michelle and Barack Obama. And he told me the other day, I actually did a podcast interview with my boss, and he said Michelle Obama showed up to every event her girls were in, and he thought that was gets me out, because here you're dealing with the president, the ex-president of the United States, and his wife. You would think that they wouldn't show up to events, but their first priorities was being parents. And so the reason why I say that is because I can go directly to my boss and say, look, dude, this is not working out for the kids or myself. I almost had to go to my boss last year because we had a situation of another kid teasing another kid. And I said to the kids, I said, that's not going to happen on my watch. That's not going to happen on my classroom. And my colleague just sat there stunned. And I told the kids, do you know we only had that one day because the kids knew better on a Friday morning not to tease the other kids. And so I can go, if worse comes to worse, I can go directly to my boss and say, this is not working out. What are we going to do? But most people don't have the luxury of going to the HR. And right now we have a public situation going on in all public schools. Now, granted, this is in Aspen, Colorado, but we have a public situation where the public school teachers feel like if they go to the admins, they don't get support, and then the admins fire them. So, of course, they lose their jobs, which doesn't help anyone. So I am really lucky that I have the support from my boss, and I'm really lucky that I have the support from my fan base, to be honest with you, who listens to me, Mayor Milan, on Ask Lynn about these educational dreams that I have for the next generation.
Right. So what you're basically saying is that there's a disconnect. You have a good connection with your boss, and you have a good support from your fan base, but if anything could improve in the system, it would be the ability to freely communicate between the teachers and their admins, between the teachers and their bosses, about things that are important to them, without fear of being fired. Right?
Yes, and I apologize for the coughing attack. Attack came quick, and I I didn't have a chance to mute my mic. But yes, I want good communications between HRs and bosses and teachers, because teachers don't get paid very much. You guys know that. You guys know that we do this profession because we love it, and it's not about the paycheck. And that's why I'm slowly but surely getting my degree in journalism, and because I want to get a little bit of a higher paycheck. And that's why I wrote books at the beginning, and my books are still out there. I Come a Win is still on Amazon. The View from My Fabulous Teaching Desk is definitely on Amazon. And yeah, so I think that the teachers and the admins need to support each other, because this is getting nuts. Well, we're afraid to tell admins what's going on. Hello? Hello? Well, how is, let me just put it to you this way, and then we'll tie up this interview. How is the special ed kid supposed to get support, extra support, mind you, if the special ed teacher isn't supported? And I'm going to let you guys think about that one.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's a great point.
And what you guys fail to forget is I may have ataxia spastic cerebral palsy, but I'm a special ed kid. So I'll be fighting every tooth and nail and writing books to inspire people because I want to see the education system get better. And I want support for the teachers and I want support for the parents and I want support for the admins too. But I want you guys to think about in your, if you're in the teaching field, I want you guys to think about how to put your kids first and how to get support from yourself. I mean, I interviewed a woman the other day who was a psychologist for many years, and we were talking about self-care. And we were talking about how teachers bring papers home with them. And I said, and I'll say it again, I said, your lesson for this week, your homework assignment for this week is to go to your boss and say, do I have to bring the papers home with me? Can't I just use an hour on my break to grade papers? Because if you're not giving yourself self-care, you're going to be a mess. You're going to be a mess. And unfortunately, when you're in an abusive situation, you can't give yourself self-care. I couldn't give myself self-care when I was being emotionally abused in the workplace from 2006 to 2009. I got out of there when the economic clash happened because I got fired, I got canned, and I lost my job like everyone else did. And I'm like, I am in the happiest spot I have ever been in my life because I was out of the abusive situation. So if you guys can run away from your abusers, that would make colors and my day, because I'll just take the first small step on getting out. I don't know if there's a one. I know there's a 1-800 for suicide, but is there a 1-800 number for emotional abuse or physical abuse caller? Do you know that?
There is a domestic violence hotline, and when we get the marketing material out for this show, I'll put it out. You know, wherever I push this to. I don't know it right off hand. But there is domestic violence hotline numbers everywhere, and you can talk to someone in private. Because domestic violence, if it's in the walls of your home, it's domestic violence, whether it's verbal, emotional, whatever it is. If it's going on inside of your home, it's domestic violence. If it's going on in the workplace, I have no idea. But also, I mean, you're free to reach out to me if you're in this. Please reach out to me. Find me on Facebook. I'm just Carla Wynn, now W-Y-N-N. And I'm calling myself the crazy unicorn lady, and I just like the way it sounds. It fits how I feel right now. So, and you can find me there. My website is carlawynn.com, and then I'm unicorn trainer Carla on Instagram, and pretty much you can find me anywhere around there. My email is thedreamtechnician@gmail.com. That's thedreamtechnician@gmail.com. And find me through Wynn if you need to. She knows how to get to me in every shape, way, and form and fashion.
Yep. And you can also reach out to me. Those of you who are teachers across the country who are now on breaks, on your break sitting there. I know you guys are because I get a lot of feet. Well, I used to get a lot of traffic from Los Angeles and San Francisco. So I know you guys are listening to this. So you guys can reach out to me if you guys are teachers and you feel stuck in the teaching system. Because trust me, I've been and done that, and I don't feel stuck anymore. But I took the decision with my family to get unstuck and write books and inspire you guys. So we need to start getting women and men and their kids unstuck from the situations they're going through right now. And I know it's hard for you to think about getting unstuck, but you guys can do it. We believe in you. Reach out to Carla or myself, and we'll guide you in the appropriate direction. I'll even teach you how to do a podcast, and I'll even, I am setting up a plan. Carla doesn't know this yet, but I might as well announce it. I'm setting up a plan to help domestic violence survivors to speak their words on podcast, and then I am also launching another podcast, if I can get my act together, the author's artwork about the magic of how you wrote your own books, because I know as an indie author, it's hard to find press and it's hard to find podcasts. Been and done it myself. And so I want to help you guys the best I can, but Carla's going to help me come up with a plan for domestic violence survivors to start their own podcast, because I thought about it last night. Because Carla and I are so lucky that we were able to get out of all situations, we just want to give back.
That's true. That's true. Don't be afraid to raise your voice. The only way to neutralize a negative situation is to bring positive energy into it. And I'm going to say this one more time. If you're in an emotionally abusive situation in your home, if you are being shut down, if you're being told to shut up, if you're being made to feel like your voice does not matter, and you're being treated like this by a spouse who you have, you know, you're pretty much forced to have to deal with it, start to shake up your voice. Even if you have to, even if you don't give them a single sign that you're about to do something, go ahead and plan your plan B and get out. Because today, these deeper silent abuses are going south. And I do not want to see you physically hurt because you were unable to get out of an emotionally abusive situation. So just call me or get with me on Facebook, get with Wynn. We'll get you some help, and we'll help you the very best we can with everything that we've got. And
yeah,
that's all.
I mean, that's all from us. And if you guys know me, I have the heart of a big teacher, and I want to help domestic violence survivors, and I want to help those who can't speak for themselves. And domestic violence is a disability on the other end, because you're not born to be a domestic violence abuser. You're born with no sins to your body, and then it comes from the home. And so when you're emotionally abused in the workplace or the home, that's a bad sign. That's a bad sign, and you need help. And if you have outsiders looking in, like Carla and I, we can help you. We can try and help you and try and get you away from your survivor, and we can help you make money while you're dealing with this, hint, because books are now like a business card. Hand the person a book, and then they'll be happy to read the book and possibly review the book. So
that's right.
Just reach out to Carla and I, and then we can help you.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much for having me here.
Well,
I
you are
can't
so
wait
welcome.
Until we're going to cook up for next week. It's going to be fun to do this
I
and help people.
I can't wait either.
All right.
Wait.
Thank you.